Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It's Thursday, which means it is time for Coach Approach. Me and the man, 49ers cutback, and we got a lot of ammunition today, Ant, because we got to hear from so many of the position coaches. How are you feeling? OTAs are a wrap. Where are we at, Ant? Give us the thermostat.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about it. You know, the fact that Kyle Shanahan felt like he could cancel mini camp is a good omen for how the season's going. And minus a couple of things, you know, a shoulder being a little bit sore or, you know, some things here and there, primarily they've been able to stay healthy. That's something that's positive for the 49ers. So I'm feeling good about it. You know, we're hearing positive things about Stribling and about Cowing and what they're doing on offense. And we're hearing good things about the back end with some of the things that are happening on defense as well. I was also very impressed with Raheem Morris, just the energy that he was kind of displaying when he was at the mic. You could tell he was excited about this team. He was excited about the players. And I think if anything came through from Raheem Morris, it was how much he loves having Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw back together. It just felt like that was the perfect marriage for the 49ers, and Raheem Morris is loving every minute of it.
You know, it's funny because I have family members from Atlanta, and they always call and talk to me about, like, you know, whoever they draft or sign or whatever. And when they got Raheem Morris, I was like, man, you guys are going to love this hire. Like Raheem Morris is such a cool guy, like amazing. And I talked about how Shanahan always hypes him up, and like, this was a great hire. I really thought that. Didn't work out. But his personality, like, okay, let's see here. You go from Robert Saleh to Mecko Ryans, then Steve Wilks, a little bit of a, you know, change up in there with Steve Wilks, then to, you know, Pet Rock, Nick Sorensen, back to Saleh. Like, this is like the first time you're getting that like pizzazz energy. Like, Robert Saleh's got energy on the field. D'Amico Ryan's got energy on the field. But man, you put a mic in front of him and it's just monotone and, you know, we're excited. And it's just it turns into that. That's not Raheem Morris. And I love that he's bringing his personality and, you know, it just shines through. It's refreshing. And what does that translate to? Wins, losses, whatever else? I don't know the answer to that. But as somebody that listens to every single minute of every 49ers press conference ever with the player interviews, which are god-awful boring, and even the position coaches sometimes, like, dude, I'll take that. Like, right? Like, I don't know. It's just like, oh, what's happening here? So I'm pretty pumped about Raheem Morris.
Yeah, me too. I think that there's going to be some interesting twists to what he wants to do. And I think we've all been feeling that already. Just with him coming into the fold, we feel like we're going to get something a little bit different. That was what was exciting about Steve Wilks when they first hired him. It was like, hey, we're going to get some changes here and there. What does that mean for the defense? It ultimately didn't work out the way everyone was hoping. But I think you're feeling that with Raheem Morris right now. There's a kind of a renewed energy about, hey, we're gonna do what we always done, but we're gonna do some things that are a little bit different too. And I thought we felt that kind of from the different coaches as well, where you had, you know, guys like Johnny Hollins talking about there's gonna be his own spin on coverages and some of the things that he was bringing his own system in and bringing some of the things that he was gonna do there. And I thought that you heard the same thing from KJ Wright. So there's a definite change, I think. Eberflus kind of adds to that as well. They've got a lot of different things they can do schematically. And I think that's what makes it really exciting. New personnel combined with a different point of view on what it takes to play defense in the NFL in a modern day defense. And I thought that was another thing Raheem Morris said about Eberflus. He's bringing in some things that he saw around the league, some ideas and other things. And I love the collaborative nature. When you get these minds together, that's when you can really get something great. So the energy is really great. But I think also where he's going to come from schematically is going to be a lot of fun as well.
The Eberflus interview was interesting because they asked, like, what would you say you do here, right? And he's like, he said, I am here to serve Raheem and assist the assistants. Like, That was a little bit of a unique answer, but I thought it was very telling because there were so many questions. I forget the coach that we had from the Chargers, and he came over. I could see his face, and he's doing the pelvic thrust.
Brad Staley. Stretch.
Thank you so much. The pelvic thrust gave it away, right?
Brad Staley, pretty, that's yeah.
Like everybody was like, "What's he do? What's he do? What's he do?" The 49ers have brought in multiple coaches with head coaching experience and, you know, whatever else. Just another set of eyes. Help us break. And like, for those of a lot of people that like haven't gone through coaching and building a game plan and breaking down tendencies and all that stuff. And it's all the coaches sitting in the room, you know, on the film and with the board and all that stuff. It's like, all right, here's what they do. How do we want to personnel against this? What blitzes will work against this? What coverages will work? Where are vulnerabilities? All that stuff. And just to have another set of eyes. Actually, you know what, man? Back whenever I was with so-and-so, we would do this to that formation, and it worked really, really good. And like, you know, instead of doing a 31 look on the defensive front, let's do a 22. That's going to stop the trap block. Like, just more knowledge and experience. That is key and just increases the awareness. So I love the Eberflus hire. And if we jump back at the DeLorean to last offseason, it was Robert Saleh or bust for a defensive coordinator. I was very, very concerned. But Matt Eberflus was on kind of my short list of, you know what, maybe as a DC, I wouldn't hate it. But the fact that you get him now as an assist to the assistants and to serve Raheem, I don't know. What are your thoughts here on just adding all that experience and depth on the backside coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, number one, it's always nice to have another set of eyes that understands the game and has been around as long as he has. He's also been a head coach, a defensive coordinator, so he understands what it takes day to day to go talk to these coaches, so he can kind of interject himself into meetings. And maybe Raheem sees something that he can't handle right away, and he says, "Hey, Eberflus, I need you to go sit in the meeting and talk to these guys or just see what's going on so we can make changes." That's number one. That's why he says he's a coach to the coaches. He can go and give them support, the individual coaches, without having to have Raheem Morris do that. So Raheem Morris can stay what he wants to do in a holistic view, looking at the whole team, and Eberflus can kind of go piece by piece. But then you brought up the game day type stuff and how important it is when you have another set of eyes that's just looking at it for in-game adjustments. And, hey, I got a tendency on what they're doing offensively. Here, I can share this with Raheem and maybe give him some insight. I think always two heads are better than one. And when you got people that are really smart like these guys are, they can figure things out. So I love that Kyle's been doing that and bringing in these other coaches to help the defensive coordinator. Number one, he doesn't have to do it. That takes a lot of pressure off of him. And then number two, it gives some freedom to that defensive coordinator to focus more on game plans and things that are happening in the game, and the other guys can handle talking to the coaches and that sort of thing on the sideline. So I think it's worked out pretty well. I thought last year was probably the best it worked out, and I'm hoping Eberflus takes it to another level because he is extremely smart, and he has some really good concepts when he was coaching a couple years ago. So I think that these guys got to stay ahead of the league. The league's ever-changing. Sean McVay is going to figure out something else. 13 personnel is not going to be here that long. They got to be ready for what's coming next.
Yeah, just the adaptations and the copycat league and all the second round tight ends that we had fourth to fifth round grades on. And like, it's weird. The Niners chose not to even partake in tight ends and just say, you know what? We don't even need to touch it. Tight end safety, who gives a damn? Now, one of the interesting interviews I thought was Chris Forster. I remember the season where Forster was on the mics on, I think it was Thursdays or it was Wednesdays or Thursdays. I loved it. He is just so fun to listen to. He talked about how Brett Toth hasn't been working out. And it really kind of seems like it's going to be a two-horse race at that left guard spot between Connor Colby and Robert Jones. Carver Willis, it just seems like too much of a stretch for me. But what are your thoughts just on this idea of Connor Colby versus Robert Jones at this left guard spot, which is probably one of the last starting spots that's kind of up in the air?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting interview, starting just with the conversation about Myles Garrett and how that was a gut punch. And I think that got him really evaluating that position. I think if there's one good thing we take away from it, it's Chris Forster was talking about it being a meritocracy. He was saying, hey, we got four guys. We're going to put the best five offensive linemen on the field. And I don't know if that's always been the case with conversations when he said it aloud. But I think that that's what they're looking at. I think Brett Toth is going to be in this, in the mix, as long as he can get healthy. But they definitely value him as a backup center. And this is something that we saw in years past where that backup center is not always available to start. So John Feliciano eventually became the starting right guard. We can all remember that in 2023. So it does happen. But yeah, I think when you look at it, Connor Kobe's got a lot of nice things being said to him about, you know, from Colton McKivitz. You've got, you know, Robert Jones, who from what I saw in 2024, and there's nothing to go on in 2025, but in 2024, he was pretty solid. And so I think that there's at least a consistent starter that they could put at left guard if Robert Jones is healthy and capable. I think everyone hopes that it's Connor Kobe. One thing Chris Foerster said in that interview was he didn't expect Connor Kobe to be as good as he was when they drafted him in the seventh round. He didn't see him as a starter, but now that they think that he can be. So I think this is going to be interesting. We won't know anything, though, until these guys start getting in the pads. And, John, I am so excited about training camp where you're going to have guys like Osa Odighizuwa going against Robert Jones and Connor Kobe and some of the stunts and things that are going to happen. That's where we're going to find out if Connor Kobe's ready to start or not. I still put a little bit of an edge to Robert Jones, but I think that that's going to be a fun matchup all offseason.
Yeah, I like that. And it's, you're going to learn out there, you know, you're going to figure out real quick who's in and who's out. And Shade, shout out to Shade of the Knicks. Congrats on your win yesterday. Shade says, you know, I believe that when he pulls Brindle. That is a very, very rule. I don't see that taking place at any time this season. But the fact they didn't add any years to Jake Brindle's deal, I'm going to count that as a victory. Love that he's getting more money. Very deserving. He is paid adequately for the performance he puts out there. Just would really like an uptick in run blocking from that center position. It's been a couple rough years there. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed, from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs, feel more confident about setting boundaries, create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States, and they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Kimbro, thanks for the super chat, my friend. He says, thanks for going live, gents, and good to see the faithful. Now that OTAs are over, who are you most excited to see in pads? I'm going to go on the back end, and I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to see Marquis Siegel. I'm a big Marquis Siegel guy. He was, you know, one of our 10 out of a 10 49ers fits a year ago. Came in, started week one, just had a little, was a little bit off, but always where he should be. One of the best tacklers on the team. Just coverage was a little suspect. Let's talk about this safety position. You bring in Ashton Davis, and Matt Barrow's put out there on The Athletic. He wouldn't be shocked if Marquis Siegel and Ashton Davis were the two starters at safety. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I've actually floated the idea this offseason about Marquis Siegel and somebody else. I thought maybe the 49ers would invest in the draft. I knew that was a, you know, a big far cry from what they normally do. But if they did, I thought I seen a scenario where that was the case, because I think on the back end, the 49ers know they need to get more athletic. They need to get faster. And when you look at what Raheem Morris did in Atlanta, that's one of the things he invested in was speed. Even guys like Billy Bowman, he didn't care, you know, what they look like as far as size and arm length and all that stuff. Hey, let's just get somebody that's really fast. Having those guys that can be over the top, and what are we hearing about OTAs right now? 49ers wide receivers are getting behind the safeties and making plays down the field. They talk Shocker. About Malik Mustafa. Yeah, getting beat. So I think that there are some question marks about Malik Mustafa when it comes to coverage. He's not terrible, but last year there was a little bit of a step back. So I don't think that that's a crazy thought from Matt Barrows. I still believe that Malik Mustafa is the leader in the clubhouse to start at one of the safety positions, and I think it comes down to Siegel and Jair Brown. And I think Ashton Davis will be in the mix, and make no mistake, if he's the better player and if he's starting to create turnovers, then he's going to get a chance. But I love Siegel's tackling ability. I think he's the best tackler on the 49ers team. I don't care about position. I just think he's that good when it comes to tackling. 38 solo tackles in the open field last year. That's ridiculous. This dude can do some things in space. So I like him. It's just he's got to finish. And young players, the reason they're not finishing, they're usually a tick slow with their eyes. They're reading a little bit longer, not quite pulling the trigger. I think that's what we saw from Siegel, not in the run game, but in the passing game, where he didn't quite trust his eyes. I think if that happens, some pass breakups will come in and he'll start making more plays. So I'm with you. He's one of the most exciting players to watch during the offseason, because if he hits with that athletic ability, the tackling ability, his ability that he showed at K-State to cover, if that translates, this dude can be an eraser for the 49ers in the back end, and they desperately need that with some guys right now that just aren't as great. Then it covers for Malik Mustafa. He can kind of do his own thing, be an enforcer, be physical around the line of scrimmage. That will make his position a little bit easier. But without that, more complications for Malik Mustafa and probably stretches his abilities a little bit.
Yeah, and back to that Barrows piece that he wrote, like three safeties got works with the ones, Marquis Siegel, Malik Mustafa, and Jair Brown. Ashton Davis was squarely with the twos. He just joined the team a day ago. But yeah, that's four guys. And you can't really keep five safeties because, you know, you got Ciaran Neal, who's your special teams kind of stud there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there, but we'll see where that is. Now, let's jump to the linebacker. We're getting some really good linebacker chat in the chat here. Dude, Garrett Wallow. The name just seems to be popping around. Since they got this dude in the building halfway through last season, promotion, starter, and it was just like, oh, well, you know, everybody was injured. He filled in nicely, whatever else. One of the first transactions they made this offseason was making sure Garrett Wallow was back. They love this dude. Talk to me about Garrett Wallow. It just like, he just, you can't quit him. He's just too much energy, too much, like, whatever. Is Garrett Wallow here to stay?
I think when you look at the roster, it's hard, right? It's hard to make Garrett Wallow stay. When you look at the talent they got in front, I mean, minus them moving on from a young player that they really like. I mean, Tatum Bethune, they still got 2 years of control. I don't really see them wanting to move on from him. He's usually the guy that, you know, that makes all the calls after Fred. So you like that about him. They've got Nick Martin. You know, then they drafted and put draft capital into, you know, another player in Jaden Duggar. So I think this is one of those rooms that's difficult. I think they fully expect to keep six linebackers because they're just so talented. And Luke Gifford, such a good special teams player. That's something that Garrett Wallow adds as well. So Duggar and guys like that, Nick Martin, they're going to have to step up on special teams if they're going to be able to make this roster. But those guys are young cats that the 49ers are invested in. And I think when you look at them, they're extreme talent. I think Garrett Wallow is a great player. I just don't know how, without injury. And the thing is about the offseason is things are going to shuffle because somebody's going to get nicked up in some way. And so maybe then he gets on the team, but they are extremely talented. That's why D Winters was, you know, a player they could trade away. Cause it's just the talent at the linebacker position is great. It's really, really good. It's super deep. But I do like Garrett Wallow. I thought he played really well in the playoffs last year, a lot better than the practice squad type player that everyone envisioned when he came over from Denver. I think he could push Luke Gifford. I think he played better at linebacker than Luke Gifford did last year.
Oh, yeah. And the special teams, like the energy, like, because we saw him first on special teams, and my favorite thing about him was, like, dude, he shows up with bad intentions, and he is pissed off every time the whistle goes off because he just wants to hit somebody else. And I remember doing the special teams breakdown, and I was like, dude, this guy, he's a fireball, man. Got to be careful. He's a little too over-aggressive to, you know, kind of slap people in the face and all that stuff, even though I love that about him too. And I'm just like, okay, can Garrett Wallow be the guy that's just, look, he's going to make the roster as a special teamer and just let him back up a spot. Like, can you have that luxury with him? You know, there. It's funny because I say all the time, like, man, dude, Samo is one of my favorite players on this roster. I don't want him to start. I don't want him because he was a starter last year because of all the injuries, but like, Samo makes your roster better as a backup rotational guy. Garrett Wallow's kind of that. Like, I love those overachievers that have no business being here, but just play with so much passion, heart, and instincts, and just they understand their role. I'm in on this Garrett Wallow stuff. Yeah, like, do you keep six? Because, okay, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, Jaden Duggar, Nick Martin, that's four. Luke Gifford's five, Pro Bowl special teamer. Then you're down to like, okay, Tatum Bethune, Larry Ward, Garrett Wallow. Like, is there a chance he can make this roster? Tell me, don't take away my hype of Garrett Wallow right now, Ant. Tell me there's a chance.
Well, I think there's always a chance, but I think that he's on the outside looking in. I do think he's a bubble player because Tatum Bethune played really well last year. Damn. And there's one thing you can count on Tatum Bethune to do is stop the run, and the 49ers, that's one of the things that they wanted to do last year. They invested in it, whether it's D-line, linebacker, secondary, didn't matter. Let's stop the run. And that's something that Tatum Bethune does really well. Plus, they trusted him with the green dot. That's saying a lot. Now, I heard a little bit about the calls coming from Garrett Wallow as well, so he's probably getting more comfortable. I think it would be great if they could keep him. I just think when they brought back Luke Gifford, they made an investment in him on special teams over Garrett Wallow, and that's the decision they end up making. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Duggar. Can he stay healthy? We'll see what happens with Nick Martin. But I don't think they want to lose those guys. Those guys have a lot of upside. Nick Martin is still one of the fastest dudes on the field. I mean, the dude's crazy quick. And if his instincts continue to get better and he doesn't overrun plays and he starts playing a little bit more under control, he's going to be a problem. and Duggar's got the elite length and size. Those guys could be really good in the future. I think the 49ers aren't ready to give up on them.
What was that whole one in a million talk? now, Johnny Holland and KJ Wright talked. We got to hear from both of them, which I really, really liked. One of my favorite comments probably was, you know, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, they're going to be where they've always been. Those guys, Mike and Will, traditional. But that third guy, and like the third guy's going to be different. And this is what we've all kind of been speculating with bringing in Raheem Morris. Are you finally going to get a little bit of a change? It seems like that is taking place. Talk to me just a little bit. And, you know, we've talked a little bit of scheme, you know, Robert Saleh versus Raheem Morris, what the differences are going to be. I think that this is huge. That third linebacker, Sam, however you want to call it, five-man front, you throw around so much terminology. When you heard him talk about that, what personnel or person came to mind on this depth chart?
It was Nick Martin. I really do think that. I think Nick Martin's got the elite athleticism compared to everyone else. Now, Jaden Duggar is the eventual guy. I mean, when you look at the way that they drafted, then they signed Larry Worth, who's also built in the same way. Those are the guys they're looking at in 2027, 2028, who are an edge presence, who can also play off-ball linebacker. I think that that's the way they're going to go. But in the short term, the interim, while Dre Greenlaw is under contract, Nick Martin is that guy because of his explosiveness, his extreme first step. And I think that I see a lot of, even though he's not the same size as Jaylen Walker, Walker's a lot bigger, actually, when it comes to weight than Nick Martin. Nick Martin is explosive. And so I look at a guy that could play off ball, be consistent against the run. Coverage still needs to get better, but when you're playing Sam linebacker in a traditional 4-3, it's not one of the things you worry about the most. But when you come to the line of scrimmage, I think Nick Martin could do some damage coming off the edge because of his quickness and athletic ability. So I kind of like the idea of him playing there a lot more than a guy like Tatum Bethune. So I think it comes down to those guys kind of in that situation. And then is it a traditional 3-4 alignment? You know, are we getting the defensive line shifting and moving guys around? Is Alfred Collins going to play a zero tech? Is that going to happen? Or are they going to go with it more of like that 4-3 over and kind of shift over just a little bit? I think it's going to be one of the nuanced parts of this conversation. But I do think that they're looking for a hybrid role, a guy that can kind of do more than one. And Romello Height's probably in the mix to do some of that as well.
There we go. That is key. And we saw some 4-3 over under last year with Luke Gifford, but they didn't stop the run game. I think Raheem Morris is going to do it to go after the passer. That's the difference. Oh, look at Tommy Huxley using his love language out there, talking about Gav. You're going to make me jealous out there, Tommy. You play nice now. Joe, the man, super chat. Big thanks to both of you two for helping this fan of 50 years plus enjoy the game so much more. My favorite two Niners Potters. Appreciate you, Joe. You are such a cool dude. Can't wait to see you in Seattle again, my friend. You are the freaking man. And let me just say this for everybody out there. You're going to a 49ers away game, and little teaser here, we might be adding a couple home game parties. Uh-oh. But if you're coming to any event, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, that's where to go. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, way too much defensive talk. We got to give some love to the offensive side. Let's start off, and let's just talk about, shout out to my man Kimbrough. Loved hearing everybody just gleam over Mike Evans, like rightfully so. He's Mike freaking Evans. And I love the forgetting Sarah Marshall reference there, Kimbrough. You're the freaking man. Infinite sorrow? Talk to me just about Mike Evans. is this kind of what you expected? You know, Kittle talking 3 to 5 touchdowns, hitting deep routes, running different. Like, the X wide receiver is finally an X wide receiver again.
Yeah, I think this one's really, it's one of the things that's been interesting about the offseason. I think there was the initial, like, oh, we got Mike Evans. And then after that, I felt like everyone just kind of cooled on it and forgot how big of a signing that was for the 49ers and what he's going to mean to this roster. You know, and George Kittle's talking a little bit about what he did, you know, in the red zone session. Well, he has 43 catches inside the red zone in his career. 42 of them are touchdowns. Like, Mike Evans is a touchdown machine, and that's going to be huge. And we talk about how important red zone offense is for the 49ers in general. And you've got, you know, some of the best in the NFL history when you're talking Christian McCaffrey, his effect in the red zone, and Mike Evans and what he can do in the red zone. And I was looking at this, and I did a video a while back, and I said, these guys are going to approach 70% inside the red zone as long as they can stay healthy. That's how good they're going to be. And if you're converting touchdowns, that's a huge effect. But Mike Evans is just going to be open all the time. I mean, this is going to be, you know, 24/7 thing, because he knows how to play the game. He knows how to get open. And I thought Jerry Gray, you know, talking about the defense having to tip coverage his direction and knowing that things are going to open up. And that's one of the things defensive coordinators have to worry about now. You got McCaffrey doing his thing on one side, Mike Evans doing his on the other. What do we do? Do we tip covers that way? Does that give one-on-one looks to Ricky Pearsall and DeJohn Stribling? It starts making things extremely interesting. 49ers got a bona fide stud in Mike Evans, and now defenses are going to have to play a little bit different. And that means safeties play a little bit deeper. Everybody starts being a little bit more concerned about Mike Evans, and everything starts opening up for this offense. So Kyle knew what he was getting. He finally got his Andre Johnson, you know, one of these guys that he can make an impact with, Julio Jones type guy that can change the offense in a positive way. This is huge. This is the legitimate X receiver Kyle Shanahan hasn't had since 2017. BA was good, but BA is not Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a bona fide Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And Notorious, he says, you know, you think Mike Evans got to do the boombox? Why? He wore a shirt that said humble over hype for his first press conference, which we didn't get to hear. Shout out to the 49ers audio team muting the mic for 75% of Mike Evans' first interview. But they're in postseason form, so shout out to those guys. It's got to happen. But I don't know. Now, Mike Evans, well along in his years, 30 plus, but still got it, obviously. Leonard Hankerson, the 49ers wide receiver coach, spent some time talking about DeJohn Stribling, who had two big catches. One of them was a 50 plus yard touchdown. He let it out that Stribling was his number 3 overall wide receiver in this draft class, which I thought, like, oh, that's a little spicy. That's a little spicy.
Yeah, I mean, who was the guys ahead? I think that there was probably some, I know there was a couple of guys that were excited about kind of in the first round. And Kyle kind of said, hey, if these guys aren't here, we're going to kind of move on. I think those guys went early. But the fact that Hankerson was that high on DeJohn Stribling says a lot about the player. And I think it was because he's such a complete player. You know, when you looked at everything that he did, it wasn't just route running. It wasn't just speed. It was also his blocking. And so I think that it's easy to fall in love with the player. What I love is that we're already getting the early reports that he's making plays. We're not hearing about drops. We're not hearing about any of that. We're hearing about a guy that's going out there and meeting all the expectations they had as an individual inside the meeting rooms, but also out on the field. But Hankerson loving Stribling, I think, is a great sign for the 49ers, because there was a lot of wide receivers that went ahead of DeJohn Stribling. Yet when they took him at 33, people thought it was a reach. It wasn't a reach in the building where it was a consensus that this dude was one of the top 3 wide receivers, you know, in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's huge. David, are you worried about Mike Evans falling off a bit? I'm sure he's still amazing, but is he in his prime? I doubt it. You're not paying for prime. In a world where Christian Watson got the extension he got today, the entire 49ers wide receiver room is under contract for less than the Christian Watson deal. Like, you're getting what you paid for. You're hoping he's better than he was last year. He had the hamstring, he had the collarbone, and he even talked about how he's way more fresh now than he was a year ago. And yeah, the injury sucked and whatever else and not making the playoffs, but he's like, man, my body kind of needed it. I'm feeling way better than I have the past couple of years. So I'm not saying you're going to get 1,200, 1,300 yards out of Mike Evans. I don't think that's really what you need. Like, if you told me the 49ers were getting 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. Dude, I would take it with this wide receiver core. Like, that's all he needs to be. Just the threat to help the run game and to keep those safeties back like you talked about. Like, what do you expect out of Mike Evans? Do you have, like, a yardage or a touchdown or reception? Like, where would you put your expectations for this year on Mike Evans?
Yeah, I think he's going to come really close to 1,000 yards. I do. I think that the way the teams are going to have to play this team, the 49ers, I think there's going to be opportunities for Mike Evans. I think there will probably be hills and valleys during the season where defenses decide to either let him go one-on-one or kind of try to take him away depending on their personnel. So I think there's going to be games. You're going to get a 100-yard game from Mike Evans here, and you're going to get 50 there. But I think the touchdowns are what I'm really the most focused on. I think he could be a double-digit touchdown guy. Last year, Juwan Jennings got nearly double digits. Mike Evans is a better red zone threat. He's got more size. He just knows how to play a little bit better. This is going to give Brock Purdy the ability to go not just with the jump ball, but also the back shoulder fade. It's going to put a lot of pressure on defenses to give a little bit of help to cornerbacks inside the red zone. That could open up some things in the running game. And so I think that it's going to be kind of a push and pull all year with Mike Evans and the hills and valleys. But I think we're going to see a lot of plays from him. So close to 1,000 yards, I think 10 touchdowns. I think that would be realistic for Mike Evans in his first year in San Francisco.
And the one thing I do want to hit on before we switch topics back to the defensive side, Mike Evans has never had Kyle Shanahan. And the three reasons why Mike Evans joined the 49ers was Brock Purdy, a team that needed an X and was competitive, and Kyle Shanahan. Like, we talked about Andre Johnson. We talked about Julio Jones. We have seen what Kyle Shanahan has done. Josh Gordon up in Cleveland. You remember those days? Like, Kyle can do this with that wide receiver. Pierre Garçon. Like, there's a chance you might get something a little new from Mike Evans. I'm not saying he's going to have 1,500 yards or whatever else, whatever. I'm telling you right now, this is a match made in heaven. And I'm very, very excited just to see Shanahan, Purdy, Evans. That is fun. Get your popcorn ready right here. Mike's Brunel says Mike's going to have 10-plus touchdowns easily, most of them in the red zone. Scored 3 and 5. And I don't know how you missed 4 in there, but it was so many we couldn't even count. Let's go to the defensive line. We have a lot of comments here on the defensive line. One, Logan started the conversation out saying, man, I really hope that Mikael Williams comes back sooner rather than later. Now, there were some interesting nuggets about Micah Parsons. And he was talking about how probably in October, coming back from his MCL, ACL. And Micah Parsons tore his December 14th. Mikael Williams tore his November 2nd, 6 weeks earlier. So if Micah's coming back, and shoot, Mikael is way younger. Injury happened 6 weeks earlier, and then Nick Bosa September 21st. What are your thoughts just on the Mikael Williams timeline, Nick Bosa timeline with his defensive line? Can we expect him week 1, or is that flight to Australia and the fact that the game's 4 days earlier and blah, 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 flight back? Is that enough to say, you know what? Maybe not week 1.
I think Nick Bosa is going to be ready to go week 1. I think the 49ers, the way that they've handled the offseason, they believe Nick Bosa is going to be ready to go. If not, they would have made another signing because they would know he was going to stay on the PUP list, and they don't have the depth around right now through the first 4 games, and you just never know how these things are going to go. But I think Bosa is ready to roll week 1. I think he'll be there in Melbourne, Australia. I think he's going to play 17 games this year. I think he's going to have a bounce-back season. For Mikael Williams, I don't have as much confidence that he's going to be ready to go week 1. I do think that he's a candidate for the PUP list. I don't think it's going to be a long stay on the PUP list. I think it could be a month, the 4 games that they need or whatever to kind of bring him back. But I do think that that is a realistic possibility, and why there's been so much smoke around them possibly bringing in another edge player, whether that has been Jadeveon Clowney or Joey Bosa or whoever it's been. There's been consistent conversation about that. But they don't have to do anything right now. With all these veterans still out there, they can allow training camp to start. They can take a look at what Sam Okwuanu and Keon White and those guys look like right now, even get a better look at Cameron Sample as well, who I think was the real signal to me that Mikel Williams was probably going to start on the pup list, because Cam Sample is a guy that plays the run pretty well. It doesn't add a whole lot in that type of quarterback pressures, but he can be a solid guy in a rotation. So he was kind of a signal to that. He's insulation in case Mikel Williams isn't ready to go. And I don't think Mikel will be. That's why I do believe a signing of defensive end is still out there and possible if financials make sense for the 49ers.
Right, if they make sense. Now, here's a fun little projection right here from a man, Dan Case. It says, at some point, are we going to have Bosa, C.J. West, Oso Digizua, Alfred Collins, and Mikel Williams on the D-line at the same time? I would adjust this a little bit. I would say no to those five. Throw out one of those defensive tackles and throw in Romello Height, or throw in, you know, whichever linebacker, whether that's Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, you know, somebody like that. What are your thoughts here on this five-man front with all D-linemen? We saw it a little bit with D'Amico Ryans a couple years ago and a little bit with Steve Wilks, but not a lot.
Yeah, I think this type of thing is possible if you get into, you know, the high red zone, the low red zone, maybe you're, you know, 10 to 5 yard line. This group would kind of make sense. If you were in a normal set, I don't think that you would put these exact guys out there. Athletically, you would be giving up some when it comes to pass rush and some things that they could do. So I don't think that makes sense. Yeah, and we saw that with Steve Wilks. He would put in like Javon Kinlaw as the extra guy, and you would lose a linebacker. And I didn't really love that a whole lot. I felt like team speed went down. And the way that the league is with all the athleticism, you don't want to lose team speed. So get into short areas. You know, you have a third and one, a fourth and one. Yeah, those types of situations, get guys in there, red zone. That would make sense. But I think you're right when you're talking, when they go to five-man pressures, they're going to look to get more athletic guys in there. Romello Height to go with a couple of defensive ends. I think Osa Digizuo will kind of be the default defensive tackle. And then after that, I think you're going to have a lot of defensive ends, just like you did last year, where they're going to move Keon White, who rushes good on the inside, Mikel Williams. Those guys will be bringing pressure from the inside. So I like a five-man pressure, but I'm with you. Let's go with a little bit more athleticism, guys who can stunt and put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. And look at Maria. For the first time in a while, defense looks dominant again. Let's see. The pieces are way better. The depth is way better. Got to see how all these guys rebound from injuries and, you know, bringing back Dre Greenlaw and all those kind of things. I think that's important. And shout out to my man Shade right here. How many games will Greenlaw play? He says he hopes 17, but what are your thoughts there on Dre? Because let's be really honest. He's never played a full – he played 16 games his rookie year when there were 16 games. He's never played 17 games. Yeah, 8 games last year, 2 the year before that. But the 15 games in back-to-back years, 2022 and 2023, what are the expectations with Dre Greenlaw?
Yeah, I think you're looking at probably like around, you know, that 13 to 14 games, you know, or that he'll be ready to go. And there'll probably be some games he's nicked up that he needs to be out. The 49ers are going to be very cautious with him. The thing about Dre Greenlaw is you want him out there as much as possible. Yes. But when you get to playoff time, and I know that's always a big if, you know, people always say, hey, you can't just count on playoff time, but that's when you need all your horses. That's why people are talking about making sure you're getting other players reps for Christian McCaffrey. That'll be something that's important. It'll also be important to have Dre Greenlaw healthy when the playoffs happen. We've seen Dre in the playoffs. Dre is a monster in the playoffs, making things happen, getting the football. And I think that that's going to be the most important thing. So 13, 14 games, I think, could be realistic for Dre Greenlaw. I think he's fully removed now from his Achilles injury. I think that has hindered him over the last two seasons, which kind of skewed this a little bit as far as games played. But I like the way they're handling him right now. Him and Fred are chilling on the side, talking to Raheem Morris. They are giving him the all-star treatment that he deserves, and I think that that's going to help him when he gets into the season, because I think they're going to manage his load pretty well.
There we go. Gav right here. Can we get a stat line prediction for Osa? Whether you want to go with sacks, pressures, quarterback hits, what are kind of your thoughts here for Osa Odigizuwa? And just to put this into perspective, the most sacks he's ever had is 4.5. What he does better than anybody, back-to-back season with 23 quarterback hits, is bananas. How do you kind of see him working out this year?
I think his sack numbers are going to go up, because I think that the amount of pressure that's going to come from the outside with Romello Height, Nick Bosa, and the way that Raheem Morris is going to generate pressure from the outside, I think is going to funnel some quarterbacks to step up. They're going to step up to try to avoid. I mean, that's one thing Romello Height's going to bring is speed around the edge, and sometimes that speed can get a little bit deep. Those quarterbacks are going to want to step up. And for a guy who gets a ton of quarterback hits like Osa Odighizuwa, now he gets a few more sacks. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him break his career record for sacks in a season and do that, because I think that when it comes to pass rushers, he's not going to be a focal point. And there's so many guys that are going to be doing so many things. And I talked about him being the designated D tackle with all these defensive ends that are going to be out there. I think that's going to give him some opportunities to get to the quarterback. And I think he's going to have success this season.
Now, Chris Kucerich talked about Osa and said he's one of the hardest working people I've ever been around. First one in, last one out. If he does leave, he comes back. Like, he's just been a leader, leader, leader. I want to start the Osa as a captain movement. Is that crazy talk, knowing that he just joined the team? But everybody that talks about him is just like, yeah, like, oh yeah, this guy, he's exactly what you want. And he's mentoring all those young DTs and whatever else. But there's so many captains on this team. Like, is there a chance Osa gets that C patch, or maybe not?
I don't know. You know, I mean, they used to have Eric Armstead, you know, be one of those captains. You know, it's possible. But you got guys coming in like Mike Evans. You know, he's going to be a captain on this football team for sure. You already got Nick Bosa along the defensive line. I think it's tough, you know, but I think you do look at guys who have been captains in the past. I'm not sure a guy like Diamondo Lenore continues to be a captain of this football team. We'll see what happens with that. So there's always a chance. I think Osa could do that. But I don't know. The 49ers, we'll see how many captains end up having. But I love that thought process from Chris Kucerich of how Osa Odighizuwa is going about business. And if there ever was a guy, if he's about business like that, that you want to have a captain, that's the kind of guy you want. A guy that's going to do all the things that you're supposed to do. That is a signal to those young guys. You know, thinking about Alfred Collins and CJ West and Grayson Halton learning from Osa Odighizuwa and how he goes about business, that's important. That's how you build and foster really good energy in a room and build culture. So it's nice to see they got another culture guy that fits right in. So if he was a captain, I wouldn't bat an eye. I think that would be great for the team. I just don't know, with all the holdovers that they have on this football team, if there's enough spots for Osa as a captain.
Yeah, no, I'm very curious. The leadership at the top of this roster is pretty impressive. Kimbrough, one of the things I haven't talked about, Trent said he's done after next year. That, you know, this is the first time Trent has said, yeah, I think this is it. And, you know, the no holdout clause, the way they did the contract, does seem to say all signs are kind of pointing to this year, next year. It's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I think the 49ers now at least have a plan of attack, right? They know what they have to do over the next couple seasons. Number one, I think they know that they've got an aging roster in general. They need to win a Super Bowl. I think that they are invested in winning now. I think this year, next year, they know that there's a window for this team to win with this particular core group of players. And I think Trent Williams kind of expressing that, hey, it's not exactly win one for the Gipper type thing, but you know, that they're going to be invested in winning. And I do think that when you get to the trade deadline, the 49ers, as long as they're in it, they're going to be looking to make a move to put them over the top. They didn't make a Myles Garrett move now, but there could be a move at the trade deadline. We've seen the 49ers be willing to do that. I think they're going to want to get Trent a win. And I think a lot of these players want that Super Bowl win. They know what it means, not just for their career, but for their legacy. And I think Trent Williams wants to walk into the Hall of Fame with a Super Bowl win. That's why he keeps re-upping for the 49ers. Generational wealth, yes. Win a Super Bowl, yes. And I think that's what he's trying to do. But now the 49ers know that next year they probably need to invest in a tackle of the future for left tackle. So get the popcorn ready for the 2027 first round and see if the 49ers will actually take an offensive tackle high in that draft.
You did have Chris Forster saying that he saw Enrique Cruz as a starter in this league. We shall see. Austin, could Raheem Morris be Shanahan Spagnuolo? That's what you're hoping for. That's what you're hoping for. You know, Raheem Morris has been a two-time head coach. Usually don't get that third chance. Like, what that looks like, whatever else. Like, it would be wonderful to lock down an opposing coach. And one, you know, Raheem Morris has already won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator. Like he's been there. He's done that. I would be very happy if those two are coaching the 49ers for a very, very, very long time. That would be awesome. Now, I will say this. I wanted to make sure. I felt like I kind of cut you off and didn't give you a chance to answer this one earlier. I threw in my Marquise Siegel answer. Shout out to Kimbrough again. Now that OTAs are over, who are you most excited to see in pads? We'll wrap it up with this one. But, Ann, I cut you off very rudely. And I want to make sure you got a chance to answer this one.
I'm most excited to see the defensive line. I mean, I want to see Osa Digizua in pads for the 49ers and what it looks like in this team. I want to see Alfred Collins and CJ West and how they've improved from last season, because I think that that defensive line is going to be the motor for this 49ers football team when it comes to defense. And I know that there's a lot of conversation about Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and how great they are, and they are great. But that defensive line is what keeps those guys clean. And if that defensive line can put pressure on the quarterback, if they can do all the dirty work taking on double teams, it's going to make things extremely easy for those linebackers to go do the things that they need to do. Big play Dre, all pro Fred, they get that way because of a great defensive line. And the 49ers have had players in front of them in the past that have been really good. So I want to see how that investment is working out, whether that's the trade for Osa or those young guys that they've brought in, and even Grayson Halton. I think that's going to be interesting as well. They've tried to flip the script on what it was last year, where it's extremely light. It wasn't great. But this year, I think they're invested a lot in, and I'm curious to see those guys play. I love watching the big guys go, and I think that those big guys are also going to make the offensive line better as well, because they're extremely athletic and extremely big. So I'm excited to watch the D-line.
This season is just getting more and more exciting by the day. It really, really is. We're 98 days away from kickoff right now. Shout out to Eric Miser. He runs my social media, or our social media. He puts those out every day, and I'm like, 98 days, not that far, kind of too far. And we're entering into kind of the only slow period the NFL allows in the calendar. 49ers have dismissed mini camp. They're just not even going to have it. Things are going to chill down a little bit, which is kind of good. Let's be honest. The faithful needs a little bit breathing time. Go watch some basketball, relax, get outside a little bit, whatever else. I wish it was crazy all the time, but it's where we are. What are your thoughts just on the upcoming offseason, how you feel about this break, 98 days away from kickoff, all those things?
Well, I think it's tough when it comes to content, right? Like if you're a person that makes a lot of content, coming up with stuff all the time is somewhat difficult at times. I mean, if you're talking scheme and players, it's not so bad. I do think that this is very important for the players. I think the players need to get away. They need to get ready for the season. So I love that part of it. I think that also it builds anticipation, because now with nothing going on, when the 49ers get to July and they lock it up for training camp, there is going to be a fever pitch surrounding this team. Everyone's going to want to see Mike Evans. Everyone wants to see Stribling and what he's capable of doing. I think this is going to be fun. I'm really excited about 98 days and the 49ers getting back on the field and making things happen. And when they line up in Australia, I hope that they're ready to roll. And, you know, if they go in there, and what's interesting, the Myles Garrett thing definitely increased the odds of the Rams winning, but they only got a point right now, right? 3.5-point favorites, according to a lot of the sports books. That wasn't a huge jump like I was expecting. So 49ers are definitely still considered one of the teams to beat in the NFL. I think they're going to go out and prove it. I think this is going to be a really fun season. I'm excited about the team.
Oh, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. It's going to be fun. And so thankful for you, man. Appreciate all that you do. For everybody that's watching, listening, whatever, subscribe if you haven't already. Take the time. Go type in 49ers Cutback. Go hit subscribe over there. Support both channels. Please, please, please. Until next time, that's going to do it for us here today. And as always, stay strong, faithful. Peace.